Nebal Farzak, a spokeswoman for the Palestinian Red Crescent Society. And in Alexandria in Egypt, it's Mads Gilbert, who heads the emergency department at the University Hospital of North Norway. He's also a professor of medicine who's worked in Gaza for many years, including in the 2014 war. Thank you, all of you, for joining us. I think we should start by going to Dr. Ahmed there in the Shifa Hospital. You are an Irish-Palestinian surgeon who is there on the ground in Gaza City. You have seen many things in the past. Gaza's had four wars before this one. But did you ever think you'd see a situation as bad as this?
So thanks for having us. Actually, it's my first war in Gaza. Yes, I moved to Gaza last February from London. I was in St. Thomas Hospital. But what have everyone described here is this is one of the worst they have ever seen. It's a horrible situation. The atmosphere here is there is no safe place at all. There is no one safe at all. There is no way that we see any light by the end of this tunnel. So there is nothing we can expect will improve the current situation. In hospital, which is 700-bed capacity, in the first few hours, we received more than 1,000 casualties in this hospital. What's happening now, all the hospital beds are full. Patients are on the ground. They are all overcrowded. We have more than 50,000 people in Shifa Hospital, refugees or just evacuating in Shifa Hospital, assuming it's one of the safest places. The weapons they have used are totally different from the old ones. I'm a burn surgeon. I deal with burn patients. The kind of burn and the depth of burn we've seen is totally different. You can see this fly, this part of the very crowded place that everything is, not that aseptic. There is no way that you can keep anything clean in this hospital. So back, the burns are really severe, extensive burn, and you keep the bride in cleaning the burn, and then in a few days you get again deeper layers of burn. So the whole system, I think it's collapsing, or it's collapsed already, because when you have hospitals full, ICUs are full, theaters, half of the theaters are functioning only because the patients are crowded in the recovery rooms. The supplies we get has almost finished. What we got as in the last few days is very minimal for what we need. What we consume in Gaza now in one day is more than what we used to consume in a month time. So we are running out of everything. Electricity, now we work in Shifa Hospital, which is the main hospital, in the secondary smaller generator, where many departments, they don't have electricity, they don't have lights. Maybe here, I'm in a theater. Theaters and ICU are still running as well as the emergency department, but we are at any point at the risk of running out of the fuel. The water, you hardly get water. We had really difficulties getting good drinking water or natural drinking water. The one we drink is very weird taste for that. We don't know where it's coming from. There is no mineral water remained in Gaza at the current time.
Dr. Ahmed, let me just interrupt you there, because on top of all of this, we had on the afternoon of the 3rd of November an attack on a convoy of ambulances that were going to take people to Rafah for medical care in Egypt when they left Al-Shifa, and then they came back to Al-Shifa because they came under attack. And the very hospital that you're in right now came under attack, yes?
Exactly. You know what happened yesterday exactly, that the Shifa Hospital is overcrowded. We have more than 2,000 patients now in the hospital. And thanks to the Egyptian, they approved to get us less than 100 patients to be evacuated to Egypt. So the ICRC and the UN, everyone refused to arrange for this patient transport as per the international law. And then we found no way here to get the patients transported from Shifa Hospital to Rafah border, so from the middle of Gaza to the south of Gaza. So the ministry, after a few days of waiting, has decided that we will move this group of ambulances, and we will inform everyone that this ambulance will move at this certain time from Shifa Hospital through Rashid, which is the beach, the main coastal road, down to Rafah borders. And they informed everyone what happened. They started moving from Shifa Hospital in 2 or 3 minutes' time in Ansar roundabout. They just bombed the first ambulance. And then the whole group decided to go back to Shifa Hospital. When they arrived to Shifa entrance, they bombed another hospital, another ambulance. and we got at least 15 people killed in that attack, and 70
injured. Where were you at the time, Dr. Ahmed, where were you at the time?
I was really lucky. 10 minutes before the attack, I was there at the entrance trying to find something to eat. So it's the entrance of the hospital. It's more of a small market where everyone tried to get something to eat there. So there are like food, street food there. There are many shops with selling, you know, a few things, not shop, like small places to buy something. So I went there trying to find something to eat. I was there with two of my colleagues 10 minutes before the attack. And we're super lucky, you know, that we got escaped that one. Because when they bombed that place, it's super, super crowded. I think we were lucky that the strike happened between an ambulance and another car. Otherwise, the shrapnel would have killed at least 200 or 300 people. It's super crowded there. And what we believe, this is a Shifa hospital. This is part of Shifa hospital. It's the entrance of Shifa hospital, which is assumed to be one of the safest places for the people here.
Nabal, you are from the Palestinian Red Crescent. It was your ambulances that were bombed. Let me just tell you what the Israeli military said. They say it was an airstrike on an ambulance being used by Hamas, and a number of Hamas terrorist operatives, their words, were killed. Your reaction?
Our reaction was happened yesterday was a war crime, intentionally targeting a group of ambulances while they were trying to conduct their humanitarian role, transporting critically injured patients to go to Rafah, through Rafah, to go to get treatment in Egypt. Unfortunately, as the doctor said, we were only in our way heading towards the south to transport the wounded people. We were five ambulances, all of them for the Ministry of Health. One of them is for the Palestine Red Crescent. And during that time, due to a blockade on the street because of the bombardment, we had to return around. And then when we are returning around in Al-Rashid Street, the first bombardment took place, which target the Palestine, the Ministry of Health ambulance. And then we were continued towards Shifa Hospital when the second bombardment happened. And it has resulted to the damage of the Palestine Red Crescent ambulance, as well as two colleagues were critically injured. What Israel is saying is just a justification for multiple attacks against medical missions and medical teams. This should not be acceptable. The healthcare workers, healthcare personnel, as well as healthcare facilities should be protected according to the international humanitarian law. Up to this moment, the Palestine Red Crescent have lost 8 ambulances, went out of service due to a bombardment from Israel occupation forces. Most importantly, we have lost 4 colleagues who were killed while they were trying to conduct their life-saving mission, trying to save other people's life. At least 21 other colleagues were injured while also trying to save other people's life. This is unacceptable. It's just horrifying to see healthcare workers should risk their life in order to save other people's life, while according to the international humanitarian law, healthcare facilities and personnel should be protected.
Let me bring in Dr. Mads now, and I don't want to spend all of the discussion assessing Israeli claims, because we could do that, and I think we need to concentrate on the situation, the dire situation in Gaza. But I am going to bring up one because it's persistent, and that is the claim that the Al-Shifa Hospital, where Dr. Ahmed is right now, and you know it very well, Dr. Mads, is the main Hamas command and control centre built underneath that hospital. Let's just address that because they keep bringing that up.
Thank you. I'd like first to express my deepest respect for the work that Dr. Ahmed and the nurses, the paramedics, and all the volunteers are doing in the hospitals in Gaza, in North Gaza in particular, and in Shifa in particular. They are enormously courageous. They have been working night and day for more than 3 weeks now, and it is under the most challenging and dangerous circumstances. They stand tall beneath their patients. They don't leave their patients. The conditions are horrible. They are getting sick themselves. The water is absent. The brackish water is used. Electricity is gone. To be a health worker under these conditions with 2,000 patients and then being attacked It is a burden. It is such a situation that these people deserve all our deepest respect. Now to the claims from Israel that Shifa is a Hamas command center. First time we heard this was in 2009. And it's been repeated ever since. So they had all these years, 16 years, to prove it. There is absolutely no proof. And I have been walking freely all over Shifa. I was working in Shifa during the attack in 2009 and 12 and 14. I take pictures, I film, I write books, I do research on Shifa. I've never seen these commanders or this command center. And had I seen it, I would not have worked there because I work according to the Geneva Convention. So I urge the Israeli propaganda people to show the proof. My understanding of these allegations is that they want to take the media attention away from the main problem, namely the massacres of civilians and the attack on healthcare. So the journalist will ask again, 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 like yesterday. They say, oh, these were Hamas ambulances, without any proof. So these constant lies has the function, the political function of taking the media attention away from the main cause, which
you're right. So let's take the media attention back to actually what's going on the ground in Gaza with Dr. Ahmed. And just looking at the problems you're facing there in your hospital, I don't really know where to start. The lack of medical staff, the fact that so many hospitals and clinics have been bombed or closed, the lack of medicine, the lack of surgical supplies, the limited water, the fuel that's running out. But let's start with doctors and nurses. I mean, how overworked are you? Because I assume some of the doctors and nurses have been killed or injured.
So just to start with, you know, we're working in totally unsafe atmosphere, and the whole situation is that no one knows where to go to be safe or where to keep their families safe. And being in a Shifa hospital, we assume that this is the safest place, but it's the most like threatened place to be bombed. And just coming to the big massacre at the Ahli Hospital, which is a church hospital, we thought that would be the last place to be bombed in Gaza. Being a hospital first and being a church hospital and 150 years old hospital with their reference in UK. But what happened that there is no place which can be protected. So I think the numbers of the medical professional skills are more than 135 were killed. More than 20 ambulances were bombed or just, you know, striked. So what we feel, there is no place which is safe. And don't forget, we have our families, we have our people. So what happened to me, that most of my family are in UK and Ireland. So I live alone here. I have to bring my family, my three kids and my pregnant wife to my office here in a small, closed place. And we mainly have the cans or the noodles to be our main food. We hardly get fresh food once every 3 or 4 days. We get big changes to get water. So what happened now, I work with only 30% capacity of our health professionals. It's not only me, it's all the whole hospital. And if you go there, you see just yesterday I got only 2 doctors with me who have to see 200 patients under our list, and we have to operate for at least 10 cases per day. So the whole situation is collapsing. The people are worried. We have our plastic surgeon, Dr. Medhat Saddam, who got killed on, I think, the day 10 of the attack when he went to go and have some rest in his house. We got, just this morning, one of our doctors, his brother, is in a very critical situation in the middle of Gaza, what he thought is like a safer place to evacuate. So he will not be able to function, you know, greatly. One of our cleaners, the main cleaner, his father was killed like 3 weeks ago, and then he continued the same day, and he's the main cleaner who stayed with us. Yesterday, his cousin was killed as well. Just he stopped for 1 or 2 hours, then you have no time to stop. So the whole personnel has been, you know, just suffering, and we work with not more than 30% of our capacity. Regarding the equipment, as a burn surgeon, I ran out of the blades used for skin graft, and I found a box of old things, what we call humpy knife, which used to be the main knife used in the 70s or 60s. And they are my main knives now, which I was never trained to use them now. So whatever you run out of, it will not come back. The amount of consumables we use are really too much. When you go to the hospital, you will find the emergency department is full of, I think, 250 injured patients on the ground, in the corridors. There is no place. the evacuated people with very bad situation where you are afraid of endemics. I have been having flu for the last 2 weeks, you know, coughing and having runny nose for 2-3 days, then coughing. You don't know what's happening. It's never a healthy atmosphere to work in. You will find the flies in the hospital. You can't keep the sterile atmosphere in the hospital because of the gush of cases you get. Imagine the emergency department of Chief Hospital who has to deal with 300 casualties at one point, which are already full. We have the red area, the green zone, and all this stuff. The red zone now is full. They hardly can get 2 beds free for the critical. Red zone is the intensive care of the emergency department where we see the critical patients. It's full now with patients. We can't keep the patients, you know, to take their care. So we put them in the ground. We start working on them. The anesthesia medications, they are not as needed. We have very little of these things. The fuel will run out at one point. I don't know why the people are looking at this. This is a war crime. This is a genocide. You can't imagine, you know, when earthquake happened, everyone would run just trying to help the people to evacuate the patients.
We okay, let me bring in. Let me bring in. Let me bring in. Not Dr. Dr. Mads now. Dr. Mads, you are in Egypt. You're trying to get to Gaza if you're given permission to go in there. You have been in the Al Shifa hospital many, many times before. You've been in that hospital when it's been at war. But do you recognise the conditions that you're hearing here, the fact they're having to treat people not in beds but are lying on floors? I've heard that in some places in Gaza, doctors are actually using vinegar to disinfect wounds.
Well, it's always been very hard to work in Shifa during bombardment because it is so insecure and limited, as Dr. Ahmed is telling. But what we see now, it's unprecedented. I have never, ever seen anything like it. And I think his description is very precise. There is barely space on the ground to place patients. I mean, we've had to put 2 operating tables in one room. We've had crowded places in the wards. But this is beyond anything we have seen before. And when you add to that the lack of fuel, we know that yesterday they had to stop the oxygen machines that makes oxygen, the concentrators. They had to stop the sterilizing machines, and they had to turn off the air condition for the morgue, where the dead ones are. In addition to not having water and supplies, this is a man-made, extremely evil situation. First, you bomb the civilians, you injure them, then you take them to hospital, and you bomb the hospital, and you deny the internationally protected people who take care of our wounded brothers and sisters, whoever they are. They deny them the tools and the supplies they need to treat and to rescue people. And don't forget that the majority of these patients are children. Among the 25,000 injured, there are 7,500 children. And many of the ones that Dr. Ahmed are talking about, the burns, are children. So this is not an earthquake. This is all man-made. It's meant to be like this because the occupiers, the Israeli army, have turned off through the siege of Gaza the water and the fuel and the electricity. And they've turned off the medical supplies. And we, who want to come in, waiting in Egypt to come in, are not allowed in. So this
okay, Nabal, can I bring you in on the issue? Can I bring you in on the issue of fuel? I mean, fuel is running out. There's not very much left. How worried are you of fuel running out completely because Israel's not allowing it in? And what will then happen?
We are completely worried regarding running out of the fuel. We have already 3 Palestine Red Crescent ambulances were stopped because running out of gasoline. The situation in our hospital is also catastrophic. As highlighted, we are running shortages of medical supplies and medicine, and most importantly, fuel. Now, all hospitals in Gaza have turned into not only a place for wounded people and patients, they are a shelter for thousands of civilians. We are under intense bombardments. The Palestine Red Crescent run Al-Quds Hospital. Al-Quds Hospital, for the past days, have been under intense bombardments that is taking place all over the hospital, which has resulted to complete damage of most buildings and the surrounding area of the hospital, as well as a severe damage for the building. At least 42 civilians, those who are internally displaced, and they sought refuge inside the hospital. Most of them are children and women.
Dr. Ahmed, we've talked about fuel. There's also, apparently, according to the UN, only 5% of Gaza's water needs are currently being met. How worried are you that there could be an even worse, well, compounding everything we've got, even more bad things coming in terms of disease. I see one official from the ICRC saying there's a risk of cholera, diarrhea, hepatitis A and typhoid around the corner.
Listen, I've been in a strictly, let me say, aseptic places during my work before moving here. And when I moved here, I was trying to keep the same thing. What's happening now? You can't keep these aseptic, sterile conditions at all. So the corridors are full of people. Even the stairs, the streets, tents, the bathrooms are really busy with like loads of people waiting for their. So the personal hygiene will be very low because of the lack of water, lack of places to get shower or just to clean yourself. And then the food and the places. So what's happening now is the best area to get all these cholera or pandemics things to happen. And it will happen at any point, I'm telling you. Flies are filling the hospital. You will see worms in all the wounds. Very strange, you know, very like folk, let me say, like a lot of patients with worms coming out of the wounds. It's disgusting to see that. I've seen one of the patients with 40% burn, who I was doing dressing for the patient daily, and then he was full of worms. I brought the patient to the theater. We washed the room, the patient for more than 1.5 hour shower with all aseptic things. We use vinegar. We use the soup. We use the washing. Whatever you find there, we use because we run out of the usual things. And I put sugar as well on most of the wounds. So I use everything. I clean the patient at 10 o'clock in the evening. The next day, 10 o'clock in the morning, the patient was again full of worms. The situation is, you know, is really horrible here. I don't know what the people are waiting for. They are killing the people, as they said. They said, go to south. South is safe. They killed them on their way. They said, go to south. It's safe. They bombed there in south, in the UN schools. Now in the hospital, everyone feels that it's unsafe, but the people will use it as shelters here. So it's full of patients, full of people. It's totally aseptic. It's totally septic places. It's totally crowded places.
Could I ask you very, very briefly, what would be your one message to the international community right now from Shifa Hospital in Gaza City?
The kids we see, the children we have seen, we have been killed in Gaza and not allowed to get the treatment as well. And the basic right of anyone in a catastrophe is to get support from the people outside. The medical health professionals are, you know, we are collapsing. We are really tired. We can't tolerate more and more. It's almost a month now for me. I've been in the hospital for the whole of a month. I can see the people. They can hardly work with these circumstances. We are thinking that someone should come and stop this thing. And at least we should have support. What we believe in, everyone should at least help us to evacuate the patient, to get more health, you know, doctors, nurses, to support us in what we do. What we face here is like killing us slowly. We know the mortality rate is very high for all the patients because we can't give the best care. The care we provide to the patient is very minimal, because the equipments are not there, the consumers are not well. We are really exhausted. We are tired. I think the system is collapsing. It's almost collapsing. We feel we are still strong. We are fighting. We are fighters. The Gazan people are known for being fighters, the doctors. We will not leave the patients, but the situation is catastrophic. Everyone should just stand there and stop this genocide. They should stop what's happening to the health system, to the people, to the kids. Simply, what's behind each child is a sad story. I can tell you 70% of the relatives who are coming with the patient are not first-degree relatives. I will ask them, how are you related? You will not get, you know, sister or mother or father. They will say, like, you know, the whole family was wiped up and we got only, you know, I am the cousin. I am the far cousin of the kids. So what we see here is horrible. Sometimes I prefer not to ask about the details, not to ask about what's behind the story of this child. I just operate on and just carry on. Because if you keep asking, you can't continue operating and working in these catastrophic places. So everyone should just stand up and say, this is a war crime, this genocide. This has to be stopped.
Dr. Ahmed, thank you very much. A very harrowing discussion. But thanks to all our guests, Dr. Mads Gilbert, Nabeel Farsak, and in Gaza City, Dr. Ahmed Mukallati. Please stay safe to you. If you want to see this or any of our other programmes again at any time you can, you'll find them at aljazeera.com. We'd like to hear your views too on the war on Gaza. Post them on Facebook, facebook.com/AJInsideStory, or on X. That's what many people still know as Twitter. You'll find us at AJ Inside Story. From me and the team in Doha, thanks for watching. Bye-bye for now.